Okay, parachutes ready.
Boy, the things I go through to get auto loan rates as low as 1.04% APR for 36 months on new vehicles with PenFed.
You are aware that you don't have to be a military member to save hundreds on your auto loan, aren't you? Anyone can join PenFed.
As someone terrified of heights, I probably should have looked into that.
Probably.
Drop me off at the shore.
PenFed Credit Union. Visit PenFed.org/autos or call 1-800-247-5626. Advertised rates available through the PenFed Car Buying Service. To receive any advertised product, you must become a member of PenFed, insured by NCUA.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast. I'm Keith Caulfield, Senior Director of Charts at Billboard.
And I'm Jason Lipschutz, Senior Director of Music at Billboard.
How are you, Jason?
I'm good. I forgot my title for a second, so, you know, that happens, but I'm the Senior Director of Music. Let's rock and roll.
Well, as always, the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast is your one-stop shop for all things pop and discussion of our titles on Billboard's weekly charts. In addition, you can always count on a lively discussion about the latest pop news, fun chart stats and stories, new music, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop. Today on the show, we've got chart news about how Megan Thee Stallion Savage, featuring Beyoncé, jumps to number one on the Billboard Hot 100 Songs chart, or should I say gallops, to number one, while Future clocks his seventh number one album on the Billboard 200 chart with High Off Life.
In addition, we'll be discussing Lady Gaga and Ariana Grande's new single Rain On Me and why certain superstar pairings like Gaga and Ari break through and make a lot of noise. And Keith and I will play Fantasy Collaboration, where we pitch our ideas on what future team-ups we'd like to see that haven't happened yet. So I'm excited.
It's like fantasy football. So I'm making it sports related just for Jason.
Thanks, man. Before we get started, of course, if you enjoy the podcast, subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast provider so you never miss an episode. And if you want to explore more podcasts from Billboard, visit billboard.com/podcasts. That is plural.
Alrighty, let's do the chart chat. First up on the Billboard Hot 100 Songs chart, for the fourth straight week in a row, we've got a brand new number one single, as Megan Thee Stallion Savage featuring Beyoncé jumps from number five to number one. Now, the track added Beyoncé to a new remix a few weeks ago, and the song has seen great returns ever since. It just had to wait a moment until it had its chance at number one.
It's the first number one for Megan. Congrats to her. And the seventh number one for Beyoncé, who last hit number one with another collaboration, if you recall, when she similarly assisted another song well after its release, when she hopped on Ed Sheeran's Perfect. That song hit number one in December 2017.
Now, Savage replaces Ariana Grande and Justin Bieber's charity single, Stuck With You, which debuted at number one a week ago. That song actually falls to number 13 this week. Before that, Doja Cat's Say So, featuring Nicki Minaj, led for a week. And then a week before that, The Scots from The Scots, Travis Scott, and Kid Cudi, ruled for 1 week. So that is the fourth week in a row where a collaboration hit number one, and that comes after 32 straight weeks where the number one song was by a solo act. So when it rains, it pours. Could we see another collaboration take over next week? Number one? Well, time will tell if Lady Gaga and Ariana Grande's new Rain On Me will debut atop the tally. So stay tuned to Billboard.com.
We have a lot more up on coming up on Rain On Me. Before that, elsewhere on the new Hot 100, in terms of new pop singles, Jonas Brothers' new single X featuring Karol G debuts at number 33. I really like that song. While Katy Perry's Daisies debuts at number 40, and that is the first single from her next album, which we discussed last week.
I was going to ask you what you thought of the Joe Bro Karol G song. I like it.
Yeah,
it's
good.
I think the video's kind of cute too, considering, you know, how they had to do it in lockdown, but they made do pretty well considering the circumstances.
Yeah, just really quickly, I think that I've been impressed by how the Jonas Brothers post Happiness Begins singles have not been phoned in at all. Like What a Man's Got to Do and now X have actually sounded really top notch from them. So they're just kind of continuing that positive momentum from last year.
Yeah, it's pretty great. I'm all in for it. I'm all for it. Next up, over on the Billboard 200 albums chart, Future scores his 7th number one album, 7 number ones, jeez, as High Off Life bows atop the list with 153,000 equivalent album units in the U.S. earned in the week ending May 21st, according to Nielsen Music MRC data. Now, that's Future's biggest week in terms of units earned for any of his solo albums. He had a Drake collaboration once that was obviously a lot bigger, but still, for a solo album, it's his biggest week, so congrats to Future. Most of High Off Life's starting sum was actually driven by streaming activity, with 16,000 of its first week coming from album sales, and those sales were largely driven by merchandise album bundles sold via Future's web store, and also some signed albums that he was selling through the same store. And unlike last week's number one album, Nav's Good Intentions, which we talked about on last week's show, which had 100 merch bundles helping its first week, Future only had a handful, a relative handful, just 17 helping his first week. So congrats to Future. And next week, it actually looks like another rap album could lead the list, at least in terms of early forecasting. It looks like Gunna's new album, Wanna, might start atop the list. And if it does start at number one, it would mark Gunna's first number one album.
Would you call that a number wanna for Gunna?
A wanna Gunna? A wanna wanna, a Gunna wanna hana hana hana. Yeah, never mind.
Oh boy, I like that Gunna album a great deal as well. Let's talk about Rain On Me, man. It came out last Friday, May 22nd, 1 week ahead of the release of Lady Gaga's new album, Chromatica. And I can't love it more. I love this song. I tweeted yesterday that I listened to it 3 times when I was on a jog. It gave me a lot of, you know, a lot of inspiration. What do you feel about Rain On Me?
I was going to say, did it give you life? Were you screaming yes at the top of your lungs as you were jogging?
I mean, internally I was, for sure.
I'm all in on a dance pop Gaga, you know, and I again, as we've talked about repeatedly on the show this year, like the fact that dance pop and disco pop is making this return, I think it's awesome. And I think people are rightfully excited by new Gaga music. And, you know, when you have new Gaga music, meaning like when it's like dance pop music, where, you know, after a moment we didn't have sort of dance pop from Gaga, and now she's kind of bringing it full force with an album that's taken her back to the dance floor, but also a new single that teams her up with Ariana Grande. So you have like these two superstars together, and I just think it made for a really compelling combination, I think, to the public at large.
Yeah, I think it's a combination of a few things why this works so well. I totally agree with you that Gaga in full dance pop mode is really still so impressive. I think that Ariana has moved a little bit away from it, but when you get her in that sort of electro pop break free mode, that it's also going to be really successful. And then also the fact that, you know, they both can sing the hell out of this song, and it has a really, really flashy chorus that's immediate. Like, you know the line, "I'd rather be dry, but at least I'm alive, rain on me," just after one listen. So I think everything really works on this song.
I think, you know, it's interesting how, you know, this song feels like it's an event record, and that's getting harder and harder to do these days, just because everyone seemingly collaborates with everyone else. Jason, why does it seem like this is really a pop culture moment? Or am I just crazy and I live in a pop music bubble and maybe I just like Gaga and Ariana's pop music in general? Or am I seeing it the wrong way? Or like, how do you feel about this? Do you also feel this is an event record?
Yeah, it does feel like that. I think, first of all, the fact that they've never collaborated before. Second of all, the fact that, as you pointed out, Gaga doesn't really have that many collaborations. It's kind of like Tony Bennett and Bradley Cooper, and then Beyonce for Telephone and Videophone. But, you know, we updated the list of Lady Gaga's best collaborations ever. There really aren't that many. And just in terms of, you know, outside of the Star is Born and her stuff with Tony, there aren't that many huge team-ups on her records. So I think that rarity, and honestly, I think that it's an event record because everybody in this trying global time is looking for some kind of fun escapist dance pop, and they deliver that really well. I think both artists are just complete experts at that, and you know, to hear them pull it off this successfully, like I said, this is kind of like a one listen record where you immediately get what's going on. You watch the video, they're having a total blast with the choreography. I just think, you know, it's a perfectly timed kind of event single, as you describe it. I totally understand why there are so many people who are talking about this incessantly and listening to it, and it could have a big debut next week.
Yeah, I guess I was trying to think of, you know, who else Lady Gaga has collaborated with. I guess you count Colby O'Donis on Just Dance.
Of course.
But it's not, I can't really think of that many.
Yeah, I mean, Born This Way, her album Born This Way has zero collaborations. Joanne, I think, has one. Obviously, she made that album with Mark Ronson and a couple other people, but Joanne has like one collaboration. Like, she does these big projects with, like I said, like, Tony Bennett is obviously a collaborative album, and then the Star Is Born soundtrack with Bradley Cooper all over it, but she doesn't really have that many, like, she doesn't function in the same way as a pop star who has like a big album and will have like four or five songs with collaborative artists. She just doesn't do that often.
Yeah, but Chromatica is going to be that album, because she has not only the Ari track, but there's also, I think, a Blackpink track.
Yeah.
Isn't Elton John on the album? John, Am I wrong?
Yeah, so it's a little bit of a new look for her. I mean, you could go back to, I think Art Pop had a couple in terms of, you know, the Jewels and Drugs and Do What You Want, but and obviously The Fame had that song with Flo Rida. Who could forget that? Starstruck, of course. But yeah, it hasn't been her MO for a while. So I'm sort of excited that she's doing this, though.
You know, it's interesting how, you know, Gaga hasn't a ton of collaborations, and on the other hand, Ariana has made a number of collaborations with other folks, including some people that she repeatedly collaborates with, like Nicki Minaj. I feel like there's like three different songs they've worked together on. There could be more.
Yep.
But there's just something about the combination here of Gaga and Ariana together. So I was trying to think, like, why is Ariana the right artist in this scenario to make Rain On Me feel like it's more of an event record than others? Setting aside, so you know, obviously addressing the fact that, like, Gaga infrequently collaborates, even though Ariana does collaborate with people. I mean, she just had a number one with Justin Bieber a week ago. So I think we can look at it by saying Ariana is probably at the zenith of her popularity so far. You know, she's coming off of two huge albums, multiple number one singles, a huge tour. You know, she's at the height of her powers. Gaga herself has actually transitioned to a new plane of popularity. She's now an Academy Award winner that has proven her popularity in film and TV as an actress beyond music and stage performances. And really, Gaga could have done anything she wanted after A Star Is Born and its number one soundtrack and its number one Hot 100 hit and Oscar-winning single Shallow. And she's choosing to make a return to her dance pop roots with Chromatica, or at least what we've heard so far with Stupid Love and Rain On Me. So I think it's a combination of Gaga doing a dance pop return, which is always newsworthy. It's like, ah, oh, return to your roots. How Gaga is now on a different level of stardom now, post A Star Is Born, post Oscar. How Ariana is at the height of her pop power. And the fact that the song itself in video is like a stomping piece of dance pop that gets a lot of eyeballs and ears to listen to it. Am I crazy? Am I on the right path here, Jason?
Yeah,
what do you think?
I think you're spot on. And I wrote about this after Stupid Love debuted in the top 10, how unlikely this return to dance pop was for Lady Gaga, seemingly. You know, you think about her last big dance pop album, which was Art Pop, and her most divisive album, and she really kind of had to go in, you know, into the musical wilderness a little bit, and she made Cheek to Cheek with Tony Bennett, she made Joanne, which was much more rooted in country, she made A Star Is Born, so, you know, she did not have to return to the sound that made her famous a decade ago. She's evolved so much since then. So it was, you imagine if Stupid Love had come out or Rain on Me had come out and it just didn't sound that great, it would be like, well, she's trying to recapture her glory days and it doesn't sound right. And people would sort of shrug it off. But fortunately, the music and the vision are just completely dead on. And I love both songs. Like I heard when Stupid Love came out, I just loved it. And the same with Rain on Me. I've never really been this excited to hear a full Lady Gaga album, but it just seems like her vision is so uncompromising that I think it's going to be a great piece of work. Now, look, we've only heard two songs, but I'm pumped, man. I'm honestly like really excited about this album.
You know, me too. And you know, I was also thinking, aside from what I just listed off a second ago, as I think more, because I love contemplating stuff like this, because I love thinking about, you know, why is it that certain collaborations and certain duets kind of break through and some other ones don't? People may not remember that there was once an Aretha Franklin and Whitney Houston duet a million years ago. And there was an Aretha Franklin Elton John duet a million years ago. But for some reason, those just didn't work. I remember they were positioned as Event Records, but for some reason it just didn't work. And sometimes it's just lightning in a bottle, and sometimes it's just like the math adds up. And, you know, I also sometimes I think there is something to the fact that you have two artists that are kind of on the same level in a way. You know, if Gaga had a rapper as a featured act on a track, it wouldn't draw the same sort of attention. You know, even if it was a huge rapper, like even if it was Jay-Z or something, it still wouldn't be the same sort of event. And I think it has something to do with kind of the chemistry, the previous successes and artistry of those specific performers, if they are similarly balanced, if they have kind of a similar trajectory in some ways. And there's that big sort of what if X factor kind of pouring into it. And I think Rain on Me is sort of similar to some other previous big pop female duets, like, you know, The Boy Is Mine from Brandy and Monica, or Whitney Houston and Mariah Carey when they did When You Believe. Even though that wasn't a huge success, it still was kind of a big moment for the two of them because they'd never worked together. Or even like Barbra Streisand and Donna Summer way back in the day on No More Tears, Enough Is Enough. So clearly my brain has been working overtime about this in the past few days, as you can tell, Jason.
Absolutely. So who would you want in terms of just dream collaborations in the current pop era? I'm curious who you would want to see collaborate in terms of just collaborations that would stop the presses and really grab your attention.
It's funny, a few years ago when Barbra Streisand, speaking of Barbra, the news leaked out that she was working on a duets record. And at the time, the scuttlebutt was that she was working on a duets record and somehow Beyoncé was involved. Ultimately, Beyoncé never ended up on the album, and it ended up being her initial album that was, I think, Partners, where it was her paired up with male singers. And then the next duets album was her with like sort of other duet partners doing Broadway songs. But if you had something like Barbra Streisand, even though she's collaborated with tons of people, but if you paired her with another great iconic voice like a Beyoncé or like Adele, that would be amazing. If Adele collaborated with anyone, that would be huge, just because she doesn't. So it would be a huge deal. And I think that's why certain artists can be very sort of kind of like just sit back and be like, let me pick and choose who I want to collaborate with and be very strategic about it. I mean, heck, in my personal world, I would love to see Madonna and Gaga do something together, you know, now that they're actually friendly again. I don't know if that'll ever happen, but, you know, a boy can dream.
I love it. That would be awesome. So
what about you, Jason?
Yeah, mine that I thought of was actually two artists who, one is in a band, one was in a band. But if you think about vocal duets, there aren't that many, which is the 1975's Matty Healy, who has a couple songs with Phoebe Bridgers on their new album. But in terms of the kind of mega wattage, I thought about a 1975 song with Harry Styles. I think that would be awesome. Like, you think about Harry Styles, obviously was in One Direction, but if you look at his first two solo projects, there's like hardly any other voices on there. And I think that would be really cool. The thing about the 1975 is, for as you know, divisive as they are. And I love them. They're critically adored. Some people think their albums are overlong, whatever. I think Matty Healy, everybody would admit, has a really incredible voice and vocal range. And I think that just hearing him and Harry go toe-to-toe on a track, that would be cool, man. That would be awesome. I think that would make a lot of news, too.
Maybe, I think we'll probably get a Harry Styles, Stevie Nicks collaboration probably before that. I don't know.
I mean, I'm not going to be mad at that either.
Well, I mean, clearly, as you can tell, we could talk about this until all the cows come home. It's something I love pontificating about.
What's cool is that we're also, I also want to shout out a really exciting collaboration from last week that we haven't touched upon, which is The Weeknd and Doja Cat, the In Your Eyes remix. I mean, The Weeknd's new album didn't have any featured artists, and Doja Cat, obviously, clearly one of the biggest new stars in music. The fact that they've linked up on what I consider a really excellent remix, you know, it's exciting when this stuff happens.
Now, that example, if we're trying to connect it back to Rain On Me, I think that isn't an event record because you have a male and a female voice together and someone who is clearly like a junior, you know, blossoming star with someone who is very, like, a lot more established. It doesn't fit the same mold. So it's interesting, but it's not like, oh my God, stop the presses. Do you agree?
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think that considering the amount of excitement around both of those artists right now, I think that, you know, it's a pretty cool remix that comes at 2 weeks after Say So hits number one. I think that the timing and the pairing just musically made a lot of sense and lived up to the hype.
Well said, negotiating Jason. Okay, well, we can pick this up for part two next week. I'm kidding, maybe not. But now it's time for the chart stat of the week. This week in 2017, one of the biggest collaborations ever on the Hot 100 hit number one as Despacito by Luis Fonsi and Daddy Yankee, featuring Justin Bieber, jumped to number one. The song rose from number three to number one on the chart dated May 27th, 2017, and spent a total of 16 weeks at number one. It currently is tied for the second most weeks at number one with another collaboration, Mariah Carey and Boyz II Men's One Sweet Day. And now the only song with more weeks at number one, ahead of both of those, is yet another collaboration, Lil Nas X's Old Town Road featuring Billy Ray Cyrus with 19 weeks at number one. Despacito, like Megan Thee Stallion Savage, was a hit before its featured artist jumped onto the track. Despacito, which is completely sung in Spanish, was already number one on Billboard's Hot Latin Songs chart by the time the Bieber-enhanced version was released. The addition of Bieber, with a little bit of English singing from him at the front of the song, helped the track cross over to non-Latin audiences and ultimately hit number one on the Hot 100. Still, though, it's basically an all-Spanish song. The track was a global phenomenon and not only spent 16 weeks at number one on the Hot 100, but was also it also spent a record-breaking 56 weeks at number one on the Hot Latin Songs chart. The track would later win multiple Billboard Music Awards, including Hot 100 Song of the Year, and garner a trio of Grammy Award nominations, including Record of the Year and Song of the Year. So there you have it. This week in 2017, Despacito hit number one on the Hot 100.
Despacito, this is how we do it down in Puerto Rico. I just want to hear you screaming, ay bendito. I can go forever.
Alrighty, Jason, we've reached the end of our big shoe. Any parting words?
No, I don't really have anything. I'm excited to see where Rain On Me debuts in the Hot 100, so we'll pick it up next week.
All right, so what song should we go out on?
You know, I was thinking about how much I love another Lady Gaga collaboration with an A-list female singer, her Do What You Want with Christina Aguilera.
Oh, curveball. I thought you were going to say something else, ooh, and then you surprised me there. That's a good one. All right, see you guys next time. Do what you want with my body.